Thanks for listening. I'm Jacob Kaufman with KUAR. Substitute teacher and Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Lynette Bryant joins me in the studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I want to begin by focusing on economic development. What are your feelings on the idea of state investment in projects like Big River Steel?
Well, you know, when you think about economic development, we want to also make sure that the people are able, we are able to keep the companies here. And that's one of our problems. We can possibly get a company here, but to make sure that we have people educated enough to maintain the jobs. So we have to also look at an educational background. We need to make sure that our citizens of Arkansas can handle those jobs. So in this way, I look at education, where we have to make sure that we make some changes in it. For instance, get rid of the Common Core, making sure that parents can work with their students so that they can understand and end up with a better future.
Arkansas's current tax structure has lower income residents paying a higher percentage of their income than wealthier residents. Can you detail some of your tax ideas?
Well, you know, I have not written out any tax ideas at this point, but I would work with those who has and look over and review those tax ideas that has been there. I have a master's in biochemistry, so I basically research everything to make sure I can compare, because there's something out there. So in working with the legislature, then we would decide what is best. I found that if you make too many promises beforehand, then what kind of governor will you be? Because you've got to come forward with those promises.
That in mind, though, do you have any general philosophies on tax structure, whether or not there should be a higher percentage paid by the wealthy or poorer people or corporations?
I think that we have to look at everything and see how it affects Arkansas's budget and the people. If you're overtaxing folks, then we have to also look at the fact that will we lose our wealthy? We want them to stay here. For instance, in New York, they're losing a lot of their wealthy citizens who often donate and give back to the state because they feel as though that they're being overtaxed. We don't want to lose our base. So we're going to have to really take a look at that.
Could you articulate your position on the private option, which is Arkansas's plan to use expanded eligibility and funds from the Affordable Care Act, intended for the federally run program, but Arkansas has chosen to purchase private insurance for those low-income individuals?
Right. When I talk to different people about the Affordable Care Act, a lot of Arkansans do not want it. So it's like an alternative to it. For instance, this one elderly lady who does not want the Affordable Care Act, she's paying Blue Cross Blue Shield. And twice she had stated that her quarterly has increased $200. So look at that, and that's $400 plus the amount of base in which she had to pay. Plus she has a spouse. So at what point can she still afford $1,000? You've got to look at that. When you look at the Affordable Care Act, it's really needed for someone who has catastrophic illnesses or high blood pressure or diabetes. They need that. So I think you have to come up with a plan that works for those people, something like people who want food stamps can get food stamps, and folks who do not want food stamps do not get them. So then when you look at it in that respect, there are so many Arkansans that don't want to have anything to do with the Affordable Care Act. You have to address that.
Well, with that in mind, though, just looking at one aspect of it, the part that the state arguably has the most control over, the private option, it'll be coming up for review every year of the governor's term. Would you press the legislature to continue that program or discontinue it?
Well, if we have citizens, the majority of the citizens that I've talked to at this point that do not want the Affordable Care Act, you have to have an option. And that being the option, we're just going to have to go with that unless we can find something different. You have to go in with an open mind.
And at this point, over 150,000 people have gained insurance through the private option.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're elected, if you are elected governor, it might be over 200,000 people. Right now, we're at 70% of those eligible. What would you do to those people by discontinuing the program? What would their fate be?
Did you realize that there are 313 million people in the United States? That Arkansas has 2,900,000-something. That was 2012 census. And so today it's 2014. Let's say that there's about 3 million people in Arkansas. So you have to look at that base as well. And you'd have to come up with something else. You cannot make the majority of the people do something that they do not want, because they are the part of the Constitution as well. We have to understand what it is that we need, and we're going to have to just start revamping and finding something new.
I don't want to harp on it too much. I just want to make sure I have it clear that you're opposed to the private option Medicaid expansion that the legislature passed. And for those 150,000 people that are low-income people who've gotten private insurance through the government, you'd prefer for them to not have that insurance through the government.
I'm not opposed. I'm saying that you have to, if Arkansans do not want it, you have to honor Arkansans and find an alternative. I believe that with the Affordable Care Act, there has to be changes made in it. It is so controversial, there has to be some type of changes made.
Just for this one aspect, though, the private option that the state has crafted, what's your opinion on that one aspect of it?
That one aspect, we have to go with that because that's what we have for now.
The state legislature has aggressively pursued restrictions on abortion. Do you support those efforts, including an act currently being challenged banning abortions, most abortions, after 12 weeks?
When I look at abortions, I look at an individual, and I still believe that the person has the right, because when we die, it is the individual who stands before God and says, this is my sins. And so I look at it in that respect, that individual is standing before God and saying, this is my sins. This is what I've done wrong.
So does that mean that you support the ban on abortion at 12 weeks, or you oppose it?
At this point, I have not made a decision on that.
Regarding environmental issues, many in the state are reexamining feelings on oil pipelines after the spill in Mayflower, and that fear of pollution and contamination extends to other areas like natural gas drilling and the building of an industrial hog farm on the Buffalo River. Do you think we need further regulations to help safeguard our watershed and sensitive areas, or do you think that the current regulations are sufficient to safeguard Arkansans?
Well, we need our water. We need our environment. So we do need to safeguard our environment.
In particular, then, the Pegasus pipeline that ruptured in Mayflower runs through the Lake Maumelle watershed, which is drinking water to over 400,000 Arkansans. Do you think that pipeline should be moved or relocated?
I would need to do more research into that to see exactly how we can readjust it.
Going back to your thoughts on education, which we opened with, higher education officials will tell you their budgets do not keep up with the costs, and the same critique goes down the line all the way to preschool, it seems. What are your plans to try to get adequate funding for these institutions?
Okay. When Mike Ross talked about preschool for everyone, what he did not tell you was he was coming from Obama's address. And he does not mention how it's done. For instance, when you talk about Head Start, that is money coming from the federal government, and it's for low income. When you talk about the ABC, Arkansas Better Chance, that is money coming from the state legislature. So when you want early childhood education, pre-K education for four-year-olds, you have to look at it like this. I believe that we should make it a constitutional amendment in which people would vote on and say, okay, let's add this to our constitution. Therefore, everyone gets a break on that. So I would look at it like that. And so in doing that, monies that folks had saved for that were spending, if you were middle class and you had to spend money for your pre-K, you're no longer spending that funds. So you're able to save it now. Also, when you have so many children that have had problems to begin with and you're starting them at a younger age, then the educational problem will probably decrease. That means that you have money that you were spending down the line that you no longer have to spend anymore. We will now be able to take that money, save it, and put it towards education.
I guess after speaking with you today, you're ambivalent or opposed to the private option. Not exactly sure on this particular abortion issue going through the legislature. What tenets make you a Democrat?
I didn't say I was opposed to the private option. I said that with the Obamacare, that one, I said that people do not want that. So therefore, when people do not want the Affordable Care Act, you have to make an adjustment. Said right now, all we have is the private
option. So
maybe
you're not opposed to it, but you wouldn't be advocating for its renewal because people seem to be opposed to it from your perspective.
I would see how it goes. Right now, I would have to see how it goes. If you say, okay, I won't do this, I won't do this, and I won't do that, that puts all bars on everything you're going to do. What you want to do is keep an open mind so that you can make adjustments so that the state can move forward. Right now, everyone seems to be bickering. The Democrats want this, the Republicans want this, but I believe that it's somewhere actually in the middle and that we have to start listening to the people. We have left the people's voices out for so long that folks don't really understand that they have a voice. Mm-hmm. So I think at some point, that's what catapulted me into the race. For instance, when we look at our race now, when we look at our state and federals, we have one person's name on every slot for state and federal officers. And Mike Ross was endorsed by Governor Beebe very early, August the 17th. So that does not give people an option. In fact, it basically says we're pre-slated, the individual is unopposed, we're walking into the office, we don't really need your vote, but we're not listening to you, so therefore we don't have to listen to you. But you give us your money, you give us your time, you volunteer for us, and help us win in November. That's not democracy, and that's not participatory democracy, which is what the Democratic Party has done. They have closed out and become very exclusive, you know, and to be able to enter into that door, you now have to do almost exactly as they say, as though you are an indentured servant or you've got type of like a slavery. Because when people are talking to me, sometimes they're very nervous. So what I'm telling people now is this is your government. This is your right to have choices and to decide how it is you would like the state to go. So what I'm trying to be is more open. And that's why I also put my name on to run for governor, because I wanted a more open state, not so exclusive, because I have friends from both parties, Democrat and Republicans. So I guess that's why sometimes it seems as though my ideas are open, because I now want to listen to the people, because I know what it's like not to be listened to.
At what point in the campaign do you think you would have those ideas after listening from people? Because obviously you want to vote for someone knowing what they think.
Mm-hmm, right. I have already said what I feel about preschool. With preschool, I am definitely going to ask for the constitutional amendment for that to be in. That will allow middle class people to have a say-so in that as well. With abortions, I feel as though it is the individual's right to decide, because that individual goes before God. So I've answered that.
So you don't support the 12-week abortion ban then?
The 12-week abortion ban, I am not sure how I feel about that. I know that I believe that the person has a right to do it.
Well, doesn't that suggest then that you're not in favor of any bans if they have the right to do it?
Well, you know what? That medical field, a part of me understand why they're saying, okay, at this point, we're going to cut this off. At this point, we're going to cut this off. At this point, we're going to cut this off. Mm-hmm. So from a medical point, I'm still looking at that.
You mentioned Mike Beebe's endorsement. I certainly don't want to argue for him or put words in his mouth, but he has known Mike Ross for decades, it seems. It's not as if the person with the most money applied first, and so he endorsed them. These are people he clearly knows.
Right, and I like that you said that. You can know someone for decades, but does it make it right that you endorse someone 181 days to 6 months before the filing date set by the Secretary of State that will allow many other people to come out? If a governor endorses someone extremely early, then what happens is that sends a subliminal message that other people are not welcomed. And that's exactly what happened to our entire slate, state and federal. We only have one person. If Governor Beebe would have waited to the proper time after the filing date, I believe, then we would have more people running in every slot.
Is there any reason why you didn't try to enter earlier after seeing Mike Ross enter?
I was waiting to see if other people would enter, someone that I would believe that I could get behind and back. I cannot back Mike Ross. I cannot get behind him. And one of the reasons is because when he understood that Governor Beebe was endorsing him very early, and that gives a subliminal message. He is not dumb. He went ahead and he took that. So to me, I'm like, where's your moral compass where you're not thinking about the people? What happens is that when you're looking at our constitutional rights and you look at the Civil War, how people died for us and fought for us, that means that each person's normal birthright is removed when you have no other choices. And that's what happened. There's only one name in every slot on the Constitution.
But you were able to file for office.
Yes, because you know something?
How were you prevented from
filing? Because for me, I understand. I'm an Army brat. So I was able to just not stop because somebody would say, oh, please don't run. And believe me, that was said to me. I got that pat on the back.
Who said that to you?
It doesn't matter. People got that pat.
It does matter, but you're making a claim about people in the Democratic Party.
No. I'm being specific. The Democratic Party did not say it. Other people associated with the Democratic Party gives that pat on the back and says, Dr. Bryant, do you really think that you can win this? And I said, I'm going to do my best to.
Right. I'm not trying to accuse you, mm-hmm. but you've made this claim that the Democratic Party and people affiliated with it are pressuring people not to run. Who are some of those people pressuring?
I am hoping that those people, because I've stepped forward, I'm hoping that those people will come and step forward as well.
But you're stepping forward with a claim without any names that we can't verify.
Well, you know something? I am putting out, I've written to the Secretary of State. I've written to the Attorney General. And I'm running to the Ethics Committee. I've written to that and I'm handing it. And I'm asking them to follow up on people who might have wanted to come forward. No, I did not. But if they ask me to, then I will talk to them. I'm hoping that these people will come forward and say, you know, something, I wanted to run and this is what I got. And for instance, I'll give you another example. I'm at Jefferson Jackson Dinner in Jefferson County, Jefferson Jackson Dinner. And I had just given my talk. And then Vince Insulaco gets up after me. And he is the chairman of the Democratic Party. And he tells the attendees, which just happens to be majority African-American, that the next governor of the state of Arkansas is going to be Mike Ross. Well, the Democratic Party is not supposed to do anything like that. They're supposed to stay neutral. So then I don't say anything at that point. People come to me and apologize for the actions that are being done. And I don't say anything. I'm at Russellville. Something similar happens. I don't say anything. Now, the other candidates, they have their right to endorse whoever they want. That happens more. I now have tickets for Saline County, Jefferson Jackson Dinner. In getting my tickets, I'm looking at the website of Democratic Party. It does not have a speaker there, so I'm thinking it's going to be the same as the Jefferson County, the Saline. All of a sudden, I see a memo from a different group, Pulaski County Democratic Committee. On that memo, Mike Ross is the keynote speaker. So I call Saline County Chairman George Ellis, and I call him and ask him if I may speak. And he says, no, Mike Ross is our guest speaker. And I said, well, I'm also a Democratic candidate, and I would like to speak. He said, no. So I wrote it on paper, then I sent it to him and asked for a written no. And so he writes me back and he tells me, no, I can't speak, but he has made an adjustment for an elderly person or someone else who is retiring. So then I call the Democratic Party headquarters and asked to speak to Vince Insulinco, who is not there. Upon him not being there, I asked for his email and I send him an email, which also, this is the beginning of me verbally speaking out. This occurred last Tuesday. Then I thought about everything that had happened to me at that point. And when I thought about everything that had happened to me at this point, my name not showing up on the Democratic Party website, just everything, then I decided I was going to verbally step forward, which I did. So I began to write letters. I said I was going to use every aspect of me that makes me an American citizen, NAACP, DNC headquarters, the female and the male DNC, our attorney general. Upon receiving a letter from the attorney general, it stated that I needed to involve the ethics committee, the boards, federal and state. So I am, as well as the Secretary of State. So I dropped off a letter yesterday for the Secretary of State. When I leave here, I will drop off a letter for that. And so it is through those incidents that I finally opened my mouth, because I was waiting for my party to be fair. I was not complaining. But at some point, when do you say enough is enough? I've had enough. At some point, when you, and then this morning, Pulaski County Chair Committee letter stated that we are getting ready to push for Democrats coming out and working for our party. And they state different names, and they state Governor, parentheses, Ross. My name is not there. The primary has not taken place. So when I look to see that the primary has not taken place and we are not following the general rules in which a Democratic Party should take place, it's one thing for the governor, another thing for the Democratic Party. So when you look at all of those rules and you find that they are not being followed, then I'm stepping up and saying, follow the rules, because it's being directed directly at me. People are nervous, and I don't want them to be nervous. You know, people have come to my house and said, you know, are you all right? I've gotten phone calls. Are you all right? I am. When you're going against the grain, you can't say that everything is perfect, but I have the energy to say, this is a democracy. This is participatory. I have worked for you. I'm a Hillary Clinton delegate. I've done all that I've been asked to do. I've gone on a bus, gone to a different state, worked for other people's campaign. I've worked for Blanche Lincoln's campaign, Governor Beebe's campaign, licked envelope, washed dishes, mopped floors, swept, cleaned up. If you ask that of me, is it not only fair that I ask the same thing? I think that that is fair game, and that's not what's occurring. It is not being fair at all.
All right, and this will be my final question. A lot of what you've talked about, the majority of the time, has been that the Democratic Party of Arkansas itself is unfair and not giving multiple candidates a chance. They seem to have pre-selected their endorsements, which they're not allowed to do. Do you think any of that has to do with the fact that you waited till near the deadline to file and that you haven't actively tried to raise money for the governor's race?
No, I don't. Because, you see, it is not just me that has a right to run for governor. Everyone does. And it doesn't...
But do you know other people who were threatened or intimidated out of not running?
Well, what I'm saying is that everybody has a right, and they should not feel intimidated. They should not feel bad.
But who's making people feel intimidated? Which people wanted to run, who were then intimidated out of it, and who was intimidating them?
You take me, for instance. All the things that I told you...
You're claiming it for everyone down the ballot.
Well, I'm going to claim it for me. Take me, for instance... Everything that has happened to me is not the norm, and nothing like this should be taking place before the primary. So I am that you can totally attack and say anything about. I have basically said, here I am, and it has to be fair. Totally. Now, if they're responding to a person that has placed their name on the ballot, I don't even want to think about what happens to someone who's not.
And despite it all, you are on the ballot. People can vote for you, and you are out there campaigning and raising money now.
And vote Doc Bryant. That's VOTDOCBRYANT.com. That's my web. Please go to it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. I'm Jacob Kaufman, KUAR News.